1 Corinthians 13, I want to look back at the thought that I've been dealing with. Good for nothing. Paul lists several things in these first verses of this chapter. He says, if I could do this and this and that and the other, and have not charity or love, I am as a clanging cymbal. I'm just making a bunch of noise. I won't do it, or unless you really want me to, I can clang the wrenches together again. But it is a noise that's useless. In fact, it's irritating. And in other words, he's saying, all we can do, all the sacrifice we make, it'll be nothing, it'll be no good, it'll be useless unless we have love. Begin reading in verse, let's just read verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, love, it profiteth me nothing. I could expand on that and still be biblical. It not only profits me nothing, it profits others nothing. It is good for nothing. I've looked at the perception and the permanence and the prominence and the portrait and perversion and patience and people of love. I want to look tonight at this thought, the proof of love, the proof of love. The Lord said through John, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He said, one proof, one indicator is that you're saved, that you belong to the Lord, is that you love the brethren. I can say amen to that. I used to think Christians were crazy. Anytime I got around them at all, which was not very often, I felt uncomfortable and thought there was something weird about them. But I kind of like them now. And it's an evidence, it's a proof that we are saved. I say it again, the kind of love that this Bible is talking about, that word charity, agape, is a word that is not feeling-oriented. It is emotional, and there'll be some feelings and emotions involved, but that's not the focus of it. It's an action love. It's what we do that proves whether we love someone or something, including God. It's what we do, it's how we act, it's how we talk. The Bible says, for God so loved, there's the word agape, that he gave. He didn't just shout it from heaven, I love you, but he came. He made man as an evidence that he loved. And he sent his son as an evidence, proving the proof of love, proving that he loved man. And the son came, proving that he loved us. And he died for us. And he rose again. And even now the Holy Spirit has come to us, proving that he, the Godhead, loves us. And it's proof, I say tonight, the proof of love. 1 John 4:8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He said the positive, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. And the one that does not love does not know God. Jesus went so far to say this. Listen, I'm talking the proof of love, the evidence, showing, demonstrating that we love. Jesus said, by this shall all men know, they can look and know as evidence, as proof, that ye are my disciples, that ye have love, or if ye have love one to another. He did not say they can look at you and know by how you dress, if you're one of his, and how we dress is important. And he did not say they can listen to how you talk and they'll know if you're one of the believers. How he talks is important, but that's not what he said. He did not say our behavior. He didn't even say our doctrine will prove whether we're his or not. But he said how we love each other. That's the proof. I wonder when people on the outside look at true gospel. I wonder when visitors come who do not know us well. Do they look and see a church that loves each other? That's an indicator. That's proof of whether we really are right, really are saved. We need to realize the importance of proving that we love others. It's no wonder the devil fights it so much. It is so important that the Lord said it's the focal point of mankind. They'll look and see, do they love each other? Does that person love others? The problem of today has been the same problem since Adam and Eve messed up. And that is a misplaced love. It is not that we don't love, we just love the wrong thing. And for the most part, we love ourselves instead of others. And that is a form, listen to me, of self-worship, which is idolatry. We put ourselves and our love for ourselves above our love for the Lord and for others. It is me loving me instead of others or God. Now, I want you to look in 1 Corinthians, look in verse 13, beginning in verse 4 now. And we want to look at the proof of love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. In these verses, verse 4 through 7, the Lord works through Paul and he talks about this thing called charity. The word charity is found 28 times in the New Testament. And 9 of those times we find in this chapter. And every time the word is mentioned, it is a verb. It is action. It's not a noun, but it's a verb. Again, it's something we do. It proves, you see, the Bible never does, listen to me, never does define love. It never says this is what love is, but it always describes love. And he says, if you want to know what love is, look at this. Here's an example of love, and that's exactly what he does in these verses 4 through 7. He describes love. There's 15 words here in dealing with the word charity. 9 of the 15 are negative. The others are positive. Again, it describes love. It describes action. It describes proof. It tells what love is, and it tells what love isn't. Well, look at those. Verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Notice the positive aspect and then the negative aspect. The positive aspect, charity suffereth long. That's what love does. If you want to know what love is, if you want to know what the proof of love is, if you want to know if you love or not, look at this. Real love suffereth long. And I am of the opinion that this may be the most important of all of what he describes about love. I say this is long suffering. The word means to be patient with men or with man or with people, not the circumstances. That's in the Bible also. But this word is an indicator of being patient with others. And I want to tell you one thing. If we love them, it'll be evidenced by being long-suffering and patient. You see, a whole lot of people, including me and you, are immature. And we have not yet arrived. And here we are in this world, in this place called the earth, in this thing called life, with a whole bunch of imperfect people, and we are among them, and we are one of them, and here we are interacting and bumping against each other and living around each other, and we're having to, if we love each other, we'll be proving it by we're long-suffering or patient. these imperfect, immature people will fall, and they will fall again, and they will fall again. And by the way, that's where most of us are at. We mess up, we blunder, we do when we shouldn't, and we don't when we should. We are immature, and people all around us that the Lord said, do you love them? If you love them, it'll be evidence, there'll be proof, because you're long-suffering. You're patient with them. These people that are immature, which includes us, these people who are failing, which includes us, sometimes they will fail us. Sometimes the hurt is on us because they've wronged us or done something against us. And this word, long-suffering, suffereth long, has the idea of I have been hurt by someone and I have the power to retaliate, but I don't. That's what proof of love is. To be able to strike back and not. To attack back and not. You know what it really means? It's even worse than what I've said already. That word really means to not get angry at people. Whoa! To not get angry at people. Now that was foreign to the Greeks. To the Greeks, being a man, being a woman, being a Rambo, fighting back, standing up for yourself, show courage, show defiance, never ever weakness, never ever compassion. They were, just like Rambo, get even. But that's not what the Lord says. Oh, and by the way, we're like that. We have that mentality of Rambo and Clint Eastwood. Go ahead and make my day. They're getting what they deserve. Blow his head off. Get him back. Strike back. But the Lord said, if we love them, we'll be long-suffering. We'll be long-suffering. We'll be patient with them. Ain't it a lot of fun so far? Here's what the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. The Lord didn't fight back. He was patient with people. Even while he was dying on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He understood their fallen position and their warped minds. And he said, Father, forgive them. He was long-suffering. You know why? Because he loved them. He loved the ones who hung him on the cross, by the way, in a real way. I'm one of the ones that drove the nails, and so are you. He says a proof of love is that your charity is revealed by long-suffering. Notice what it says next in that verse. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Another positive aspect of love. He is not defining love. He's describing love. He says, if you want to know what love is, look at this. Here's an example of what real love is. First, it's long-suffering. Second, it's kind. Now, long-suffering in a real way is us being willing to take from others what we really don't want. They get on our nerves. They say the wrong thing. They're trying. They hurt our feelings. But if we really are loving and long-suffering and patient, we take from them what we do not want to take. But if we love them, we're willing. But the word kind is not that we're willing to take from others, but it means we are willing to give to others good things. Do you hear what I'm saying? He said we're willing to take bad things and on top of that give good things if we love them. That's what love is. Love is something that is proven by how we act and what we do, not just how we feel. That word kind, the root word, means useful. Remember what Paul said? It's good for nothing. Without love, it's good for nothing. But he's telling us something that is good for something. It is useful. It is positive. It is profitable. Well, first, it's profitable to me. If I'm loving someone else, that may be hurting, and it may be trying, and it may be stressful, but it's helping me to love them. But it also is helping them that someone loves them. So he said it's long-suffering and it's kindness. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what he said? Didn't say anything about you really feel good about them. You just got a sweet, good, peaceful feeling about them, and that shows that you love them. No. He's talking about what we do and how we act. It is doing good to others. I said, it's doing good, being kind to others, including those who are not kind or good to us. Gets worse. Jesus said we are to be kind. We're to love our enemies, the ones that despitefully use us. Surely, if we're to love the enemies, we're to love each other. We're to be patient with each other and to be kind with each other, to treat them right. Oh, Romans 12:21 says, overcome evil with good. And that's what kind means, be good to them. Not because they deserve it, because they don't, and probably you don't and I don't either, but because we love them. If we love them, it'll be evidence, be proven by kindness. The next thing that it says in that verse, love or charity envieth not. Here's a negative. This is what love doesn't do. He's already said, be patient and kind. That's what it is, that's what it does. That's a positive. But here's a negative. It literally means to not envy. It means to not be mad when somebody else is promoted above us. It means to not get upset to the one that has more money than we do, or looks better than we do, or is smarter than we are, or is more popular than we are, that things go better for them than for us. It does not stop us from loving them. We don't envy them. We don't say, why in the world they got that? I live as close to the Lord as they do. I know things about them. If I was God, they sure wouldn't have that. That sure wouldn't be going so easy for them. That's what love doesn't do. It envies not. Real love is glad when people get promoted, when they're well-liked, when they're talented, when they're blessed. See, envy is kind of like jealousy. Jealousy is when you wish you had what they have, but envy goes further, and that is when you wish they didn't have what they have. Jealousy is when you want what they have. Envy is you wish they didn't have what they have. He said, if we envy, we're not loving. If we envy, we don't love. That's why the Bible says wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Envy is like a poison that would devour us. It's worse than anger because it's unreasonable. Anger usually is when somebody does something against you and you get mad at them for what they did. But envy is unprovoked. They got a new car and I didn't get a new car. They make more money than I do. They look better than I do. They're smarter than I am. They get more blessings than I do. They didn't do that against me, but envy says, ooh, I wish they didn't have that. And he said, if you feel that way, it is not love. Envy, if not. Psalmist said it like this, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He said, I just about a goner. I just about to fall. Why? For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, I got to looking at others and how they were blessed. And a lot of the ones that seemed so blessed were people who are a lot more wicked than I am. And I almost fell. I almost slipped. But then he said, I went to the house of God, by the way, and got some help. This thing of envy is so sad. Listen, our joy is taken away because someone else has joy. That's what envy is. Charity envieth not. Look at the next one. Charity vaunteth not itself. Another negative. What it doesn't do or what it isn't. We're looking at the proof of love. How do we know we love? Well, look at these things. Vaunteth not itself means it does not promote itself. Does not promote oneself. Push myself forward. If I put me first, it means I don't love others. If I put myself before somebody else, I love me more than that person. The thought here, vaunteth, is the idea of speech. What we say reveals how we feel, how we are. What we say reveals our heart. And the person who thinks they're better than someone else and brags and boasts. I know somebody now. You couldn't guess who it was. Not related to this church at all. Thank the Lord. Every time I see him, I try to avoid him anymore. Because he brags so much about what's going on and how blessed he is and how good things are going. And I tell you what, I know most of it's a lie. I guess that means I don't love him too much now that I've said that. But it's saying here someone doesn't vaunt himself or herself, doesn't promote himself or herself, doesn't brag. When we brag to somebody else, it's showing, listen to me, I love me more than them. I love me more than God. It says, he vaunteth not itself. Real love doesn't exalt itself. Now, envy is wanting what others have. And bragging is wanting us. It's wanting them to want what we have. Does that make sense? If anybody on earth ever had the right to brag, it was Jesus. And he never did. Not one time. In fact, he said, for I have not spoken of myself. We are no better. I am no better than any person on earth. I am no more deserving than they are to any of the blessings of goodness or grace of God. These people that we see out that seem so low, so beaten down, we're no better than them. Love means I am not any higher than them. They're just as important as me. There's nobody on earth unimportant. Just because of their standing in life does not mean I should not love them. Does not mean I'm better than them. Does not mean I should not help them. Notice the next thing. Charity is not puffed up. I like this. The root word means windbag. Somehow I can understand that. Again, this is our speech. We speak in a way that makes us look better than we are. Here's this evil thing called pride. And he says if we speak, if we're puffed up, if we're a big windbag talking about how good we are or whatever, or even if we think that we are, he said, that's not love. It's not love. It's a negative. Pride says, I love me more than you. I love me more than I love God. You see, this thing of pride, this lack of love that causes pride is dangerous. Because it's saying, I'm better than them. I'm better than them. And that's a dangerous place to be. That's a dangerous attitude. It's an inward overvaluing of ourselves with an outward arrogance about it. And he says, if you act like that, it's proof you don't love people. You don't love them if you think you're better than them or you're above them. And I'll tell you one thing. Every one of us ought to realize tonight, any good in us is because of God. You want to know why I'm here or not instead of laid up somewhere in a mattress on the floor? Because of God. You want to know why I'm here instead of in hell? Because of God. You want to know why I got a suit on instead of worn out jeans? Because of God. I cannot brag about myself. When we get to thinking that we're something, we need to be reminded we ain't nothing but dust and dung. That's what the Bible says. We are not better than anybody else. And the fact that we act like it sometimes proves there's not real godly love in our hearts. Back in 1 Corinthians 4:7, it says, "For who maketh thee differ from another?" What's so different about you? What's so special about you? And he doesn't stop. "For what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as though thou hast not received it?" He said, what's so better? What's so special about you? Everything you got from God. Why are you acting like it wasn't a gift from God? You act like it's you. It's not. It's God's goodness. So this thing of pride being puffed up means we don't love others. Paul, the great apostle Paul, needed to be lowered a little bit. Not that he was a man of pride. Surely he wasn't. But God put a thorn in his life to make sure he didn't get proud. He says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure." God gave me that thorn, that messenger of Satan. Remember what the disciples were doing? They were arguing about who was the greatest. Sounds a little bit proudful to me. And while they were arguing, when they finally got through their discussion, Jesus washed their feet. I'm talking about, he said, if we love people, we're not going to act like we're better than them. We're not going to put ourselves above them. Pride, that thing of loving ourselves more than others, is something that's dangerous because it's me thinking I'm better than others, but it also blinds me. That I don't see myself as I am. That I don't see the damage I can do by mistreating others, or lowering others, or ignoring others, or shunning others, or acting like I'm better. It's a damaging thing because it blinds, because we do not see ourselves as we are and what we're doing with our proud and prideful deeds. Cain thought, my sacrifice is just as good as Abel's. The prodigal's brother thought, hey, listen, I'm a whole lot better than my brother. I have never left the father's house. Pride. And both of those prove they didn't love. Cain didn't love his brother. The prodigal's brother didn't love his brother. By the way, he didn't really love the father either. We're talking about proof of love. Pride that says, I'm puffed up. I'm better than others. I'm a little bit better, a little bit higher. It's dangerous because it blinds us. Could I remind you? Lucifer fell because of pride. He thought he deserved the heaven. He thought he deserved the throne. Could I remind you? Peter fell because he thought he wouldn't. I will never do that. I will never deny you. Pride. And this thing of pride is evidenced by how we love or don't love others. The worst part of this aspect of our thought tonight is this makes me think I'm okay, that I don't need correction, I don't need improvement. It reminds me of what the Lord said about the church in Revelation 3:17, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing. Man, I'm all right. We're okay. This is one church that's got it made. This is one church that's figured it out. And he said, you don't know, then thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They thought, because of pride, they were okay. But Jesus said, you don't even know how wretched you are. This thing of pride, which shows we do not love others, puffing ourselves up is dangerous because it isolates and separates. I tell you, nobody likes a proud person, an arrogant person. Now, some ladies seem to like men who have a good deal of confidence, and maybe I can understand that, But to be arrogant and to be proud, I don't know anybody that likes hanging around somebody like that. Even people like that don't like hanging around people like that. So it is a separating thing, an isolating thing, and it causes pain. When I think I'm better than somebody else, anybody else, it hurts God, and it hurts others, and it hurts me. It causes pain and heartache and trouble. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low. In Proverbs 6:16-17, talks about God hating something, and the first thing that he hates is a proud look. Leviticus 26:19, God says, I will break the pride of your power. James 4:6 says, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. All these things saying, I don't want you to focus just on the pride part, but the fact that he said, if we have pride, it means we don't love. Because I'm putting myself before others. That's the focus of Paul. That's the focus of the Lord in chapter 13 of the book of Corinthians. I don't ever remember this happening. I've heard many people through the years stand up and testify and confess things they had done. I've heard of people standing up and admitting that they had gotten drunk, that they had stepped out on their spouse. I even heard one man one time confess to an act of homosexuality. But I do not recall ever anybody standing and testifying and say, I am guilty of pride. And it is one of the worst, if not the worst, sin that we could ever commit. And it's not just a sin, it's evidence that we're not loving others, but we're loving ourselves. A misplaced love. I want to say the most important part of our lives is that we love God and we love each other and we love everybody. And I think that's biblical. I believe that's right. It's not just something on my heart. Not just some opinion I'm formed. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. Paul said, all our deeds, all our sacrifice is like a clanging cymbal. It's no good if we don't love. May the Lord work in our hearts to love each other and love God and love everybody in this old rotten world. Let's stand together.